Welcome to 24/7 Marriage Podcast. I am Javier, and I'm here now with my bride of 31 years after our last podcast. We've celebrated, I think, after our last podcast.
We celebrated our love.
We've celebrated our love of marriage of 31 years.
Yes.
How are you doing, Chan?
We had a great dinner. We got to hear some great music. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. How are you? People hate when I
So why do you do it? Why? I'm going to take off my glasses.
It's been a...
Javier, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it's good, and I'm excited to start working on producing some more content. So that is good. And we've got a boot camp coming up. We've got some other events coming up right after boot camp. We fly. If you're listening to this and you are in Grants Pass or somewhere close to Grants Pass in Oregon, and you want to make the travels to Edgewater Church, we will be doing a marriage workshop
on
there
after
our boot camp. No, on the May 4th. The 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
And so,
should we come in... Is that Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's Star Wars?
No, we're not.
Should we come dressed as Star Wars characters to teach a
group? Nope, not doing that.
No?
So we will be there. Okay. If you are in the area, we'd love to see you. I think you can go to the church website, and they have some registration there. I'm not even sure if there's a cost. So we're coming to do a workshop at Edgewater, so we're excited to be there. And then we're back. There's just a lot. There's a lot going on, but it's good.
Yeah. It's good. And then we have to go to Arizona. Not have to. We get to go to Arizona. Because we're going to be hosting a bebe.
Have we told people on the podcast that we're going to be grandparents?
I don't
Maybe
know.
We've mentioned it, but...
Yeah.
So you know, we are going to be... it's hard to actually say that. We're going to be grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be a grandpa. Well, as we said on one of our previous podcasts, I've chosen a name. It's Funpa.
Yeah, you're going to be Funpa.
Initially, it was going to be...
Pop-Pop.
Pop-Pop. I still kind of like Pop-Pop. I didn't want anything that was Hispanic-related... You know, like abuelo, or just sounds. That was my grandpa. Like, I don't want to be that. And
because you want to be the fun grandpa, the fun pop pop,
the fun pop,
fun pop, fun pop.
So maybe that's what we're going to settle on is fun pa and fun ma. And so it'll be a fun season. It'll be good. I do not want to be in Arizona in the heat in the summer.
Lord knows that
could be where we're going to be, and that's good.
I have already started filling my Amazon shopping cart with things like chili pillows and special sheets to keep you cool. Listen, we've already tried the things that go on your mattress that like circulate or air conditioned mattresses, and the way that we live in the marriage lab, we actually did a collab with a company and they mailed us one, and that thing weighed like 75 pounds, which added too much weight to our bed slide. So we had to return it. And the thing is that once you put something on, if you're a mattress freak like I am, like I love our mattress. It's so comfy. I think it fits like it's just
we're not sponsored by them, but who is it?
Tuft and Needle out of Arizona.
And there's a lot of great mattresses. That one, it's when they first started coming out where they ship you a mattress. I mean, the idea that they're going to ship you a mattress through the mail.
It's revolutionized.
FedEx or UPS, whatever. Yeah. Like you're getting a mattress and it came in a tube. It was rolled up and it magically...
It inflated
and it's incredibly
comfortable. My mattress is my most favorite thing, and the thing with that mattress topper that's like air conditioned was that you're sleeping on top of something else and not actually on your mattress, and I lost the feeling of how much I love my mattress.
So maybe we need to reach out to, because I think this would help marriages by having a good night's sleep.
Yes.
So maybe we need to have them as a sponsor of the podcast. Is it Chillo or Chill? I don't know.
It's called a chili pad.
A chili pad. Maybe it's a chili pad that we need.
Chili pad, if you're listening.
Or a sheet, right? A sheet that blows air. No.
Well, they do have stuff like that. But we do have bamboo sheets. And let me tell you, the bamboo absolutely 100%, and they do not sponsor this podcast.
Find yourself a bamboo sheet company.
They are going
to sponsor us.
They keep your body cool, and cotton does not work the same way.
And listen, folks, this is about your marriage. Like, if you're hot and sweaty at night, and you're not getting a good night's sleep,
no,
that's not healthy for your marriage.
And I'm cranky.
Your marriage needs you to be rested and focused.
Yeah.
And so you need to be able to get a good night's sleep. Yeah. So.
You know what? We're going to pray to the mattress and sheet
gods.
We can
just reach out. We haven't reached out. You've noticed that we don't do a lot of advertising on this because advertisements suck. That's what I believe. I don't enjoy them. It's just,
okay,
but I understand there's a purpose to it.
I'm just
going to
say one thing, not because I love or endorse him, but okay. He has the biggest podcast in the world. Joe Rogan has several sponsors.
Okay.
So if the biggest podcaster in the world has sponsors, then we should. It's another way for us to help move the 24/7 marriage mission and get more resources into more hands of more people.
This is true.
So, yeah.
I want to start doing some new things on our podcast.
Can I just say something? You look like you're getting ready to leave.
And I'm going to be working on that, about having more guests, which I think we're going to be doing, and taking questions. And
as long as you're in charge.
So I'm going to start here today by telling you, and I'll say it again at the end. If you have a marriage question that you want us to answer, you can go ahead and send those marriage questions, a voice recording of your question, to info@247marriage.org. If you voice record on your phone, you can send that voice recording straight through an email directly to info@247marriage.org stating this is a podcast question. And what we'd like to do is be able to play your questions on the podcast and answer your question for you. So send your questions to info@247marriage.org, and in the subject line, put podcast question.
Yeah.
And we'll get those answered for you on our podcast.
We'll
and probably today,
on our stories.
We'll also do another, what's it called?
Am I the problem?
Am I the problem? And we'll do that here at the end.
Last week was our anniversary, and we had our I Get to 7-Day Challenge. So I hope that a lot of people downloaded that and have been doing that 7-Day Challenge. And if you haven't, it's not too late. You can still download it and start your 7-Day Challenge any day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we'd love to hear back from you on if you enjoyed that and how it's going. We probably need to do it where they can post it on Instagram, like take a photo of them with it and they can post it.
They can. Why do you say it like
it's something? Well, not that they can't, but like asking them to do that. Wouldn't that be good? No?
Well, why don't you go on our stories and ask people to do that?
Well, Shannon,
because you're
maybe
looking at me
I
to
will,
do it.
Because that is your expertise, and I stay in my lane. And
you know what? My lane is full. It's congested. We're
well,
bumper to
get
bumper.
In the carpool. Get in there with you.
Nope. And we're bumper to bumper done. In
Shannon,
my lane.
Get it done, Shannon. Mm. Just do what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do. People were losing their ever-loving mind with this eclipse thing.
I know, right?
Like we were in, so you guys know, we were in the area where it was going to be totality because it was insane. People were coming in from everywhere. We know people who flew in from California. I mean, people were going crazy.
Traffic.
Stores shutting down, restaurants shutting down, the whole town's shutting down. Crazy. And we were outside of where the totality was in Texas, and it got dark here. Like it was 8:30 at night where all the lights came on and the building lights came on.
People had to drive with their headlights on.
Yeah, it was actually pretty crazy. But people kind of lost their mind. I'm wondering, like, man, if people spent money and they traveled and did all that, like, and then it's sometimes hard for people to come to a boot camp or do something to invest in their marriage, but they'll invest in watching the solar eclipse. They're like, well, it only happens every 20 years. Well, so does your marriage, hopefully. Hopefully so does your marriage. Not every 20 years, but invest into it because it's going to last longer than 20 years.
Your marriage happens, it's like Halley's Comet, it happens every 75 years. Like
no, every 100, no, your marriage I hope lasts more than, well, maybe 75 years. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a good goal?
Or longer, yeah.
I don't think longer. You'd be 100. If you got married when you're 20, you're going to die at your 100.
Okay. Then that's more than 75 years.
Oh, Javier, I hear what you're saying. You know what I'm saying.
But it was
saying.
Just funny seeing how people invest all of that.
Look, say hi to all the people. Hi. People like to stop and wave and take pictures. People stop and
like to wave
and take photos. No, so what I was saying is that exactly like, oh, we drove and we did all this because the solar eclipse only happens every so many years. And it's like, well, but your marriage, hopefully this will be your only marriage you will ever have. So why wouldn't you want to drop everything to invest in?
Apparently the next one's not for 20 years. So I know, just invest in the things that matter. I'm not saying if you did the eclipse, good for you.
I have a really cool update from a couple that we did premarital for and you married 8 years ago. Cam and Allie, are they in North Carolina?
Think it'd be okay to say their name?
Yeah. Okay. Are they in North Carolina?
They're in Southern Pines.
North Carolina.
Sure.
Yeah.
I forget.
Not South
it's
Carolina.
It's terrible that I forget.
We know they're in, is it North or
Continue South? With your story, okay. Honey.
So she called me to tell me that they were actually on their way to church because they're in the middle of doing a 16-week
North Carolina, yeah.
Couples course. And how much they're enjoying it and they're like sewing into their marriage. And she goes, we're hearing so many of the things that you and Javier taught us in premarital, we're hearing again. And she goes, and now we're just starting to implement them and we're applying them. And I'm like, Allie, the seeds were always there. They're just now blooming and growing now. And I said, I'm so proud of you because it's so easy to retreat and say, we're busy. They have three boys, three energetic boys. You could say life is so busy right now and we've got three boys. She's got 20, I think she told me 21 chickens. They've got a busy life, but they're making time to show up at church and do this course and meet with other couples and invest in themselves and pour into other couples. Yeah. And I'm so proud of them. And here's the thing,
and I'm tired of people saying, oh, we're just busy. We have a busy life. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it.
Javi, you
because
look angry.
Everybody has the same amount of time every single day. It's what some of you are allowing your time to dictate what you do and to control you as opposed to you telling it where to go. So you invest in the things that matter. You probably find time to get up early in the morning and maybe work out or enough time to go get your coffee in the morning, your Starbucks before you head to work. You will find the time to do the things that really matter to you.
Oh, yeah.
How about you find the time to invest in your marriage that pays incredible dividends generationally, and then you don't have to complain about what you permit.
Yeah.
So when people, the whole thing with we're busy. Yes, everybody is busy.
Yeah.
But you can make the time. I bet you if I sat on your calendar all day long and watched everything that happened from, the time you woke up to when you went to bed.
We could find time.
You're in the fine time. Listen, we probably can find time to do more. There are times where I veg out and I want to watch a show, but there's times I probably shouldn't because there's other things I could be doing and things I could take time to invest in, whether it's hanging with my wife, whether it's playing a game with her, whether it's going for a walk. You can invest in your marriage. Just take the time to actually do it and stop saying, oh, we're so busy. We don't have the time. You do have the time. You will find time for the things that you love.
So,
and how about you love your spouse and invest into them?
If we peel back that layer of we're so busy, what is it that's really being said? I think
sometimes it's an excuse. Yeah. I'm trying to find ways to rephrase it when people ask me. We are all busy. We all have stuff going on. We all have places to be. Everybody is. And that's the answer that we always give people. How you doing? Oh, just busy.
I know.
Just busy. Well, tell me about that. And then people wouldn't know what to say. And I bet we can poke holes in it and we can
find time. I tried implementing what you said when people ask me how we're doing. So instead of saying that we're busy, which is a true statement, it's not wrong. It's not a lie. But I try saying the things that we are doing. And I find some people interested. I'll say, oh, well, we're writing three new courses right now, and we're getting ready for a boot camp in a couple weeks in Texas. And then we have a workshop. And so I tell people like what's going on within the ministry, because they're asking like, how are you guys on the road doing? And some people aren't interested in listening.
No.
That was too much information for them.
Yeah.
They would have liked that I would just say I was busy. But then there's other people, they're like, wow, that's really cool. That's awesome. I'm so excited you guys are so busy. And I'm like, thank you. But it's interesting when you choose to answer their question with more of an answer, you quickly find out who's really not interested in having a conversation.
It's just like when you ask people
how they're doing.
And if you, it's just what they do. And like, But if you actually answered, if somebody asked me, how are you doing? Well, I have this going on, and then I have this little thing in my nail right now, and this is
my hemorrhoids have flared up.
Shannon, don't tell that to everybody. Gosh, that's a personal thing for you. I have this going on. I have, you know, this is happening with my kids. Like, people would be like, what?
Our slide broke the other day. We had a repair man here for two days. They'd be like,
it's what people do. Overload. And I get it. They do it in passing. They do it like, hey, how you doing? Oh, good. Okay, great. See ya. Like, I maybe with some people we do that, but we don't take time to actually do that. Anyways.
Maybe instead of asking people how they're doing, why don't we think up a new thing to do? Like, you just give somebody a peace offering or like a blessing. Like, instead of saying, how are you doing? Say, blessings to you.
What?
Like, you offer a peace offering or a blessing to somebody. Okay. Like, you say, you make a statement instead of asking a question. I don't know.
You've gone on about all kinds of stuff. It all relates to your marriage, though. So when you ask your spouse, hey, how are you doing? Don't say just fine. Like, actually pause to ask your spouse, hey, how are you doing? That's why I ask you. But asking your spouse, like, how are you? Is there anything I can help you with right now? Is there any way I can serve you right now? That's a good thing to ask, and not just give.
Sometimes I'm not ready to unpack.
But not give. That's okay. Like, I'm just thinking through a lot. Like, you know when your spouse is
off
or thinking through something. So to ask that question and to truly sit with it and not just in passing, I don't think we often ask our spouse, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? Is there anything going on that I can serve you? Or how I can serve you. There's a download that we recently put out. I think it's out, that are intimacy building questions.
Yeah, it's out.
And I would say you need to go get that. It's 50. No, I'm sorry. It's 24 with a couple bonuses. It's 24 intimacy building questions. And these are typically questions that we likely won't always ask our spouse. But these are ones that we're prompting you to ask them that could be. Some are easy, some are difficult, and you may not want to know the answer, but they're healthy to ask. So if you don't have that, go download that now. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes for this podcast where you can actually go
and
download that 24.
Why do you keep saying 50?
I don't know, 24 intimacy building questions. Yeah.
Great. Moving on.
We're like 17 minutes in already, Shannon. But this won't be long. I kind of wanted to go two things that I was thinking about is what does an all in marriage look like? Like, why'd you roll your eyes?
I didn't roll my eyes.
You rolled your eyes when I said that. So what does an all in marriage look like?
All in? Well, so I think of a guy at a poker table, and he obviously has a good hand, and he pushes all his chips to the center of the table, and he's like, do or die, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not holding anything back.
But I think people hold back, and I think that we don't tend to live that way, that I'm all in. There's times with trepidation we enter into something, we're unsure about it. But it was just this thought. It's a random thought, and I'm going to go somewhere else. But this thought of, like, how do we live in all-in marriage that we are not holding anything back, but we're fully in, committed. And I think what that takes is one of the pieces to live in all-in marriage is this place of ensuring that we're operating with sacrificial love.
Yeah.
You're pointing at something.
Oh, well, I'll edit this part out, but that fifth wheel, he backed out his truck and he ruined his, it was crumpled like a piece of paper.
That happens.
Yeah.
Random thoughts for Shannon. But I think one of the ways you live in all in marriage is this place of sacrificial love.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we fully understand what that means. And if we look at it from a spiritual point of view, that God sent Jesus to redeem and pay the price for something that was not his fault. Mm-hmm. Like, God sent Jesus to pay the price for something that was not his fault.
But he took full responsibility for.
That's it. So sacrificial love takes responsibility even when it's not your fault.
And you do that as the man of the household.
And that's what I'm saying in general, men and women, but for a guy, that's what we're called as husbands, that even if it's not our fault,
take responsibility.
We're taking responsibility. And we're we're not individuals who like to say, oh, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to lay this down. And we think, oh, I'm going to sacrifice watching TV so I can hang out with my spouse. Okay. That's good. I'm saying, okay, that's fine. I'm going to sacrifice hanging out with my buddies so I can hang out with my wife. Okay. Is that really a sacrifice?
No.
Maybe to you it feels like a sacrifice, but when I say sacrifice, I'm talking about the things that, what do we do that's for the benefit of somebody else?
Yeah.
Right? What do we do if it's something that's for their benefit? So even if we have to lay down some of the wants and needs that we have to better serve our spouse in the moment, to sacrifice what we feel that we need or deserve to be able to move towards them, because your spouse might be going through a season right now where they feel depleted, they're unsure what's next, or they might be going through a season of high anxiety, depression, stress, whatever it may be, and there's some needs maybe that aren't being met on your end. Are you willing to sacrifice what you feel you need in order to give them what they need in that moment, in that season? Are you willing to lay things down, even if the wrong thing's being done to you in your marriage and it's not your fault, but you're willing to sacrifice and to love and to pursue them and to display God's love in a powerful way? And that's sacrificial. That's laying something down mm-hmm. in order for the benefit of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that they could experience fullness or healing or restoration. And I think when you do that, like on the other side of the sacrifice that Jesus gave was resurrection, it was life, was being united again with his heavenly Father. And so what's on the other side of us sacrificing and giving of ourselves for somebody else? And even if that love is not returned, and that's what it was with Jesus, like he loved you, and there's no guarantee that you'd love him in return. He laid down his life for you. And what if there's no guarantee that in your marriage that that person is going to respond or reciprocate in that way towards you? Do you still sacrifice and lay things on the line and love them in that way?
You do, but that's what causes us and our humanity to pause on that all-in concept in marriage because of that vulnerability of that nakedness that it reveals about us. Because what if, Javier, they don't come through? What if this falls apart? What if this doesn't go the way I thought it would go? What if? And also, your all in is also dictated or framed by your past. So if you have trauma or you were hurt in your past, it keeps you a little bit on the sidelines of not being all in because you're a little bit scared. Well, my parents' marriage didn't work out, so I'm going to give 90% in this marriage. I'm going to hold back a little because I'm really scared that I'm going to end up like my parents. So sometimes our all-in concepts are framed by past circumstances and hurt and trauma.
Which would be good to talk about on another podcast, but that's an element of it that's about inner vows that you make.
Yes.
And that fear, I can't go all in because if I do, then this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll be hurt again. They will break my trust again. And there's different, I think, moments where like, no, I'm all in. Like from day one, I know each of you would probably say you're all in your marriage. You were in that place at the altar. I do. And that was I do to everything that came. It wasn't I do like with a period. It was actually an I do with a ellipse, like dot, 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 like to everything that would happen in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. I do. I do love you. I will fight for you. Like I will move towards you. Like that I do was an I will. Like I will stand with you and I will sacrifice. And that's really what it was called from that day one. There was a call to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That to better serve the other person in moments that you would sacrifice even your needs for the benefit of somebody else. And I want to say that I see that often in marriage. I don't always see that. And that was like what scripture tells us, that we are called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for the church. We don't really truly understand what that means. That means that I lay my life down. If it has to be physically, okay. But in the spiritual sense, in an emotional sense, I lay myself down in pursuit of my spouse to serve them in whatever they may need, even if there wasn't going to be anything in return.
And most of the time, there's not. The reality is, it doesn't always work out that way, Javier.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that we don't pursue, or we don't lay down and we don't serve, because we don't serve so that we'll be served. We don't lay down our life.
Yeah, I have been serving and serving and serving and serving and serving my spouse for so long. I
know. I've heard this story.
And they do not respond. I'm not getting anything in return.
And
so
people
now
will
what?
Say to us, Shannon, how long do I keep serving? How long do I keep loving? How long do I keep showing up? Well, God never gave up on you, and he still laid down his life for you. Now, we are not talking in the context of abuse of any kind. So we have to remove that from the equation right now.
Even in couples where there's been these moments where like it has been repetitive, like maybe there's an addiction and it's been repetitive, 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 and we have seen couples who have separated over that. There's still a responsibility for you as an individual to do the right thing. And this is very difficult because the wrong thing is being done to you, but yet you're still being called to sacrifice on a daily basis to do the right thing, because behind that addiction, behind what is taking place, is a person who is broken, who is hurting, who is wounded. Most people don't maliciously or have this intent to destroy their marriage by becoming an alcoholic.
Yeah.
There's something that is just symptomatic. They don't have an alcohol problem. They have a them problem that's manifesting in that way, and that's what they're using. And so what are you still responsible for? I'm still responsible to love that person. Now, I might not even be with them because of what's happening. There might be a separation that takes place till you can restore. It doesn't negate the fact I'm still called to love that person. Mm-hmm. And to believe that there could be healing and restoration in their life. That can happen.
Yeah.
And there are times where we have seen this with really good friends of ours, where there has been sacrificing of laying down of certain needs to better serve that person. And it's not easy, and it's incredibly difficult. But I think that God honors those moments and those times when we do lay ourselves down for our spouse. And I'm not saying that you get run over and they get to abuse you verbally and physically. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying from this place of how are we living on a daily basis, where at times we sacrificially lay down things for the benefit of our spouse. Shannon did that with me in a season where I went through a very deep depression, and she showed sacrificial love because there's a lot of things she wasn't getting during that time that I couldn't give to her. And so she sacrificially loved me in that moment to just be there and to be present. And it was for my benefit. Mm-hmm. And I think it benefited her also, because she was being obedient to God and she was honoring God. She was honoring her marriage vows.
God.
She, as tough as it may be, but it was, I would say, even a shifting, because it was her opportunity to do that for me when early in our marriage, I did things for her in that way.
Yeah.
Where there's things I thought would take place early in our marriage, expectations I had that didn't happen. But I knew that I was called to love my wife as Christ loved the church, to give myself for her, that even if it was never what I thought it would be, my responsibility was still to love my wife and to die to myself in pursuit of her. And I can tell you, when I did that on year one, and then year two, and then year three, and four, and five, I could have stopped at year three. Like people say, when do I stop? I can't stand this anymore. I'm not getting anything in return. You keep doing it. Like, God has not stopped loving you through your sin and your brokenness and your mistakes and your failures. He still is in pursuit of you. Do you guys get that? Like, you have a loving God who pursues you. still pursues you, says, I love you.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we're called to love.
Yeah.
And I knew early on, I did that with Shannon, pursue, move after her. I love you. And that's, I believe, what shifted is there was a sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. And the things that I laid down, guess what? I did reap the benefit of those things. I did get those things later. They did happen. I was fulfilled. God met the desires of my heart through my wife. It did happen, but I did not give up. Because it wasn't about me getting what I needed. It was about me being called to serve my wife sacrificially and give myself on her behalf that changed everything.
I just wanted to add to that. In that season when I was serving you in your season of depression, God took me deeper in my walk with him.
Yeah.
And every need that I had was met. Because there's not a lot of needs that you have. I had food, I had shelter.
A lot of things I want, but
yeah. There were some wants that I didn't get, but every need I needed, I had friends and family who loved me. I had a roof over my head, I had food on the table, and I was able to love my girls well. So in that season, yes, every need was met.
Yeah.
But maybe there was a lot of wants that I desired that didn't get fulfilled.
Yeah.
But God in his faithfulness God showed up.
Yeah.
But he took me deeper in that season, and I learned to rely and strengthen my walk with God in that season. So yeah. I'm grateful for that season.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up, and there's a lot we can talk about this subject, and I believe the challenge is step back and ask yourself, how are you loving your spouse sacrificially? Are you all in your marriage? And when you're all in, you know, just like Shang gave the analogy of poker, like there's going to be a little bit of sacrifice, right? You're financially sacrificing some things to be all in. You could be out of the game. All these things could happen, but hey, I'm all in. Like I'm giving everything. I'm laying it all on the line. And there's this place, there's this call that we have to be all in our marriage. Like God wasn't halfway like, you know what? I'll go ahead and give my life if they... You know, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're going to love me in return. So I'll just step into this just a little bit, right? No, it was all in. And that is exactly what we're called to in marriage, as difficult as that can be. So look at your marriage right now where you're at. Are you all in? Are you laying everything on the line so that you can stand before God and say, hey, I was faithful with my marriage. I was faithful with my spouse. I gave everything. I fought. Now, you can't control the other person. You cannot control if they respond, if they want to be in the marriage anymore, if they take off. There's a lot of things you can't control, but you can control how you move towards them, how you love, how you lay yourself down in pursuit of them. Because then you can stand and say, man, God, I have done everything. I have fought the fight. I have stood. I have sacrificed. I have given myself on behalf of this person as you called me to do. And you can be proud of that, right? Yeah. And God honors that.
Yeah.
So how do you live a sacrificial love?
Love it.
We appreciate each and every one of you. I always say that on every single podcast because I do. I appreciate those who tune in, who listen. Please rate, review, share this podcast. Remember, we're a partner-supported ministry. If you want to be part of the 24/7 marriage, please click within the podcast on Instagram and donate, become a monthly partner, and help.
It's just in the show notes.
It's in the show notes. Okay, Shannon. Thank you for listening to the 24/7 Marriage Podcast. Help us expand our reach by rating and leaving us a review on iTunes. Make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more information on the work we do and how to support the 24/7 Marriage, head on over to 247marriage.org and click on Partner with Us. Until next week, remember, in marriage, you don't have to, you get to.